Hello, hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another podcast report. I'm Nicholas Lorimer, once again joined this month by Viv for Mark. Viv is an award-winning journalist, as well as a TV presenter, public speaker, and podcast content consumer. So before we get into today's podcast report, Viv, do you just want to tell us a little bit again about exactly what the idea behind the podcast report is and how it works?
Yeah, so I think what's happened in our news landscape and in our consumer landscape is that we've started consuming our news via podcasts. So it's a quite a different texture. So the line between news and entertainment has become blurred. So what I do when I do these reviews as a journalist in the course of my work, I do look at all the podcasts, but I also look at the entertainment value and I respond honestly about how I feel about the podcast. So what I'm doing here is not serious political analysis, although I do take it seriously. And I combine my history, not only as a TV presenter and a radio host, also as a journalist and experience as a creative director in the advertising industry. So I bring all of those evaluations in, and then I tell you what I think. And for this month, we are looking at Malema's judgment, where he was found guilty of firearm offenses. And this is one of those instances where consuming the event on a podcast is very different to reading the facts in a Media 24 report. Because on a podcast, you can see the presenter, you can hear them, you can read body language cues, and you get a sense of the feel of a topic, not just the facts. And just by flicking through the podcast, for this one, you get a sense that the right of our spectrum reacted much more energetically and joyous than the left. And you could see it in the way the people that reacted. So the right tended to erupt in joyous celebration, and they were very excited about it. Now, Ronaldo Gous, I don't know if he can toy with his body, but he can toy with his face. His eyes and his cheeks were dancing. He was fist bumping. So when they read the judgment, he was literally going, "Yay! Yay! Malema, you're a criminal! Ha ha!" So there was great excitement from that side. Then NewsPod, who is an Afrikaans podcast, but also on that side, and their presenters are not like Ronaldo. They look more like Ouderlinge and NG Kerk Committee. And these people can't be expected to toy, not only because they'll have objections in principle, but bodily limitations for such a type of thing. But they managed a moral sucky-sucky when they chided Malema for him having the cheek to criticize the magistrate for finding him guilty. So they speak in their tone, and it's now in Hoog Afrikaans now, né? They said, one should have the intellectual and emotional maturity to know not to criticize somebody just because they ruled against you. Maybe this is an opportunity for him to know that he's done wrong and to learn something. So that was their attitude, but with a lovely energy. Now, in contrast, on the left, the EFF's own podcast, they had a summary because they have a weekly summary of events, but the Malema conviction was sort of towards the end of it, and the poor presenter spoke slowly and the eyes half-masked, very low energy, and just quietly saying, "We would like to say that we would like to commend and respect our CIC for respecting the rule of law and appearing without fail for the trial that lasted 7 long years. And we commend him that not one drop of blood has been spilled in his name." So that was their take. Malema himself, not as joyous and cheeky as during the trial, obviously, where he showed open disrespect and defiance. So where the right would have said, "This is a seismic event," Malema just went, "Business as usual, go back to your branches." And we'll see how that ended up. A podcast I often watch because of how he presents it, and I think it's the biggest podcast of his kind in the country, Sizwe Mpofu Walsh Experience, 320,000 subscribers, and he takes things seriously. So Mpofu Walsh is not only one of our most respected and biggest podcasters, but he's also the son of Dali Mpofu, a former EFF national chairman. So I can imagine that before he presented himself on his podcast, he took some time to think about how he was going to do it. So they ended up doing a very straight and clinical and non-emotional analysis of it, mostly on technical legalities. And I could hear, however, that he had a concerned tone and he was a bit annoyed that this judgment took 3 days. Why did it have to take 3 days? So now that was the left and the right. So you've gone from this enormous joyous energy and this downcast half-mast eyes. And then we go to the Daily Friend podcast, which I enjoy because it's a safe centrist space for me. And I appreciate it because the IRR, the Institute of Race Relations, offers you a broad spectrum of analysis, views, and podcasts that you can see the potential scope of the political ramifications from any event. They also write position papers and they offer solutions. So what I find, Nicholas, thank you, from what you've created here, is I don't have the pressure of the constant seeking for likes and the performative antics that you often find on other podcasts. It is presented with wit, but with wisdom, and there's humanity in it, and very intelligent. So I'm going to quote something that Herman Pretorius from the IRR said, and he explained our process that should Malema be jailed or convicted, sentenced to jail term of more than 12 months, that would prevent him from being active in parliament for 5 years. And if there's another appeal and another appeal, Malema might not be able to return to active politics till 2029 and possibly 2039. And his suggestion was that in that event, maybe the EFF must use it, position Malema as a martyr, and in the background, fix the internal politics, because he's now expelled some of his main members, which damaged the party. And he was also heard by Jacob Zuma re-entering politics because they fight for the same crowd. And I think in that sense, for many people, Malema is just a mini Zuma. So Herman said people had to now, with Zuma entering, had to now pick between the original and the copy. Why book an Elvis impersonator when Elvis is still alive, said Pretorius. Why buy from Temu when Takealot delivers to your door? So that was their take. As to whether Malema might go to jail or not, people are hedging their bets. Some people say, nee, gaan tronk toe hoor. Definitely, hier is tronk straf. And other people are going, no, man, nothing can touch this guy. Nothing will ever happen to him. So that one is open for consideration. But what we can say, where people are agreeing, is that if the NPA puts their mind to something, things can happen. And while Malema might not have been on a witch hunt here, it is a bit strange that none of the ANC corruption charges have stuck. There's certainly the magistrate is going to decide whether he must go to jail or not will be under a lot of pressure. And as we saw, a voice already started to fail while reading the 3-day judgment. But I also have to point out, and no other podcast has picked up on this, that Malema has been convicted twice in 2 months now. Once of hate speech, which people don't really know about, and then this firearm offense. And in both cases, it was at the hand of an Afrikaans female. Now, you can say it's coincidence, but hear me out. Maybe this is a case of the Helen Suzman effect, which takes one woman who simply sticks to her guns, does adopt properly, and she gets more done than teams of men with high-ranking lawyers and teams of guys huffing, puffing away. So I'm calling this a Tava Tani trend for which we should be grateful. Tava Tanis. Okay, so if we now agree that the NPA, if they put their mind to it, they can get results, some are summit from the Truth Report delivered quite a good opinion on that. So the Truth Report, yeah. Okay, I have issues. Firstly, that people can go out and claim to understand an objective truth in any way. I understand that they claim that they are speaking truthfully, but to say you're talking the truth is a bit much. And the argument they use is, well, we reach more people than the Daily Mavericks. So if we're popular, it must mean we're talking the truth. It's irksome. That's a problematic way of thinking, especially from people who criticize the ANC. And if they say we're democratically elected, if the majority of people voted for us, it's legitimate. When they want to, they criticize that argument, but they use it, the same argument, for giving themselves legitimacy. Hello, knock, 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 nisini. However, Sama Sambat gave a great performance on the Malema judgment. And Sambit is one of those guys that we have to watch because he's bursting onto the scene and he's polished and he's a performer. So he's positioned to become a potential future Vusi Temba Kwaya. He has that ambition about him, and you can rely on his stuff being calculated, well-researched, scripted, and rehearsed. So everything he does is a performance. And this is what he said. And his face beamed as he said it. Justice actually exists in South Africa. In 2025, do you understand what just happened? A South African court just held a powerful politician accountable for breaking the law. He said he thought it would never happen in his lifetime, which is quite short. He's still a lighty. This verdict is a crack in the armor of impunity that has protected powerful people for decades. That deserves true celebration. That deserves recognition. Give this woman a bells. She just restored more power to South Africa than Eskom has in 10 years. Viva. I thought that was a lovely positioning and how to see this whole event. I end, as usual, with the podcast report survey, which is a very scientific and random sample of ordinary South Africans I bump into while writing a piece. And on the way to the supermarket, I asked two young ladies what they thought of Malema's conviction. Now, these two young ladies didn't know anything about Malema's court case, but the image of him triumphant with that semi-automatic weapon in his hand, semi-automatic, in his arm, is burned into their memory forever, because that's the image they know of him as a heroic resistance fighter. They said, what do you think of him? And she said, you know, Malema, I like him. He's... And I understood what she meant. And I said, I understand what you're saying. He's a very good orator and he's a very cinematic performer. Now, they won't have my vocabulary because they were 12 and 9. But we understood each other because we all wore Crocs, and Crocs wearers understand each other. So for them, it doesn't matter what happens to Malema. He's a hero. And I can also compliment them on how they decorated their Crocs, because Checkers Minis is all the craze in my neighborhood. So the little pink Crocs were decorated with a little Duma sunlight liquid and a dog food while we're discussing Malema and this rifle in his hand. My Crocs are just those normal brown beige numbers. Malema must carry on, said the 12-year-old. We trust him. We think he's going to make South Africa more better. And I said, listen, we can agree to disagree on Malema, but where I do agree with you is that everyone wants South Africa to be more better. And that was the podcast report.
Thank you very much. And thank you especially for those kind words you said about the Daily Friend Show. You will understand, of course, that I'm rather biased to good news about the Daily Friend Show, or praise of the Daily Friend Show. But yeah, no, we do try to do our sort of, you know, standing in between two fires shtick here.
Okay, so you are aware. Do you want to make a comment on the Malema thing? Because I want to ask you something about the Daily Friend Show. After the whole Malema thing, because I listened to what you said about it, did you come to a sort of, not a conclusion or a takeout for you on the Malema affair?
You know, I just think it's a sign that, like, Malema's whole shtick is kind of fading a bit, and that he's sort of lost his magic. Politics often seems to have this kind of almost magical quality to it. When things are going right for you, they really all just seem to go right in the same direction. You know, you get these politicians who just seem like they're invincible. They just go on, and no matter what happens, what scandal, what chaos unfolds around them, they just sort of walk through undisturbed. Sure. And Malema used to have that, and he doesn't anymore. I think we're really seeing that sort of cracking up. It started with his chummies in the party are falling out with him, and it's continued. It's continued now to the point that he's even getting the sort of, he once had this ability to dodge the law with incredible deftness, and that seems to be fading as well. So I was interested to see that on their podcast he kind of downplayed it a bit when in the court he was really like going at it and declaring, you know, 1,000 years of revolutionary struggle, sure. And I'm not afraid of this and I'm not afraid of that. And then when he gets to his podcast, he's like, you know, it's not a big deal. Which I think perhaps suggests that he realizes that this is at least a problem for him, if not a big problem.
Sure. So in the podcast, what you guys do in the Daily Trend show, and I think people underestimate how much effort goes into it. But first, I have to ask you something, because, you know, as podcast consumers, we watch everything. For us, it's like watching Top Billing or some other lifestyle show. So they're behind you, right? You have a bookcase, but there's an orange object which looks like a thing because it has eyes. Please tell us about it. Is it a creature?
This is a small octopus, fluffy octopus. It was purchased for me by my wife. And it at one point actually did appear in a few episodes of the Daily Friend show. You know, because I'm a person who, although I often don't seem like it on the show, I'm taken to a bit of whimsy. I would like to there were a few episodes where I put it on my shoulder like this, and then when we started talking about bad news, I would flip it over to the other side when it looks grumpy, and put that there. But let me just say that they're viewer reaction was rather negative. They thought it was a bit silly, so I did stop doing it. But it remains in the background as a
fantastic
little ornament.
Okay, fantastic. We'll continue discussing your background one item per show, because it's quite eclectic and interesting, if you don't mind. So how much time do you spend on preparing for the show? Because I know it's also writing, it's also policy work, it's also podcasting, but the podcasting itself takes more time than just sitting for the 20 minutes talking about it. Just run us through that work that goes into that.
Yeah, so one of the ways we've gotten to get our show coming out every single day is we've kind of streamlined the production of it in a lot of ways. So I'll wake up in the morning and, well, I'll start the week and I'll build a roster for who's going to be on the show in every single day of that week. And then we'll go through... that morning, I wake up, I add the people who are going to be on the show to a WhatsApp group, and we start posting stories about what we think might be interesting. Sometimes we post 3 stories, sometimes we post 15. And we sort of just slowly look at them, read through them. And then before the show is actually recorded, we actually have this discussion. It can go on. It depends how much there is to talk about and what mood we're sort of in, but that can go on for sometimes an hour in itself, where we just talk about, okay, what are we going to discuss today? What do we think about this story? What do we think about that story? And we kind of try and whittle it down to the stories that we think we have the most to say about, or we think that are the most important to talk about. Not always the same thing. Sometimes we have a lot to say on things that aren't super important, and sometimes we have not that much to say on things that are super important. But, you know, you kind of have to sort of go bit by bit. And then all of our other work kind of all feeds into this. The Daily Friend is in a lot of ways kind of our first port of call when we want to respond as the Institute of Race Relations to various happenings in the country, right? So it's the place where we go when we want to speak about this Malema judgment, or we want to talk about something new we've just posted, or we want to analyze the consequences of some momentous thing that's just happened. Like, for example, when the president signed in the expropriation law into being. So, you know, exact amount of time, it's kind of difficult to say, because you sort of interspace it throughout the whole day with other work, but it's a couple of hours a day, picking news stories, discussing news stories, and then finally actually recording the thing. So, you know, viewers get a rather limited view of that process. But the fact that we've sort of streamlined it is actually why we're able to do the show every single day.
Yeah, that's cool. And also, I like that your episodes aren't that long, and it becomes like a easily consumable piece, because that's exactly what happens. Let me just go and quickly say what they said. And it's 20 minutes or 30 minutes, and then you sort of have a nice centrist view of it. So you are appreciated.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So I thought it was really interesting and you know, I guess somewhat expected, all the reactions from left and right that you mentioned. I think people who are getting very excited about this, I mean, you know, I'm no fan of Malema myself, But let's kind of see, you know, prepare for the best, hope for the best, expect the worst, I think is often a good way to approach these sort of things. And I'd be curious to see what happens when what kind of sentence he gets. And even if he gets a harsh sentence, he's going to appeal the whole thing and he's going to probably be out on bail. And, you know, this story's going to go on for another few years. And I think very often when legal stuff like this comes up, people hope that there's like it's going to be like a silver bullet. There's just one court case and then Zuma is gone, or one court case and Malema is off the board. But never like that.
But that's where I think Sambit is correct. We've never had this before. This crack that's appeared. And I agree, give that Tavatani a bells.
Indeed. I will say, though, that Malema isn't as powerful, I think, as people think. I mean, at the end of the day, he's still not part of the ruling party. He's part of their sort of, you know, he's part of their larger ideological universe. He's part of the, Nicholas, if you would use the Marvel expression, he's part of the extended universe of the ANC.
Don't take the bells away from the Tavatani. Come on. Let's give the Tavatani their due here.
You can still have a bells, just maybe not a double, maybe a single.
No, we're taking a double for the Tavatani's two convictions in 2 months by Tavatani's. That's something. We're claiming it.
No, it is something. And it is important that you have institutions that can follow evidence and the law and the rules and sort of go through things methodically to produce a just result. And that to me is always a good sign. Anyway, I think that's all I have to say, except that I'll add that it was very amusing to me that the people who you happen to talk to, who also happen to be pro Malema, were, you know, preteens, which I'm not going to say that it necessarily, it's not that unexpected that it sort of sheds a bit of light on what I'd assume have supported to be.
it was a small sample. That's the way it played out.
No, very good stuff. All right, thanks so much, Viv. And we will see you all next month on the podcast report, where Viv will bring us the latest on what's going on in the podcast space. We hope you enjoyed, and we'll see you all next month. Cheers, everyone.